For the year?
Yes. For the year. But it's 24,000.
Oh, the original contract was 78, so I do apologize. So anyways, so I guess the moral is, I guess I would go back to my original question. I'm glad it's not as large as I thought it was, because I was sitting here kind of stewing on that. As a Verizon customer, I was absolutely stewing on that. I would say that, is there a way that if, is there another service company, if you go out to bid, that could satisfy the needs of the city? Do you feel that this market, this is a better way of asking it, do you feel that this market is a competitive market where other companies would be willing to pounce on the opportunity to do business?
Absolutely, would be happy to pounce on it. I think that's also incentive for Verizon to keep it. The city could absolutely, you know, we have, I get feedback, certain fire stations can't get service with Verizon where they're located. I can guarantee you, being a T-Mobile customer myself, there are a number of locations within the city that T-Mobile does not get service. So from my perspective, from a technology perspective, to listen to any of the commercials, oh, we get the best coverage and all that stuff, you just win and lose no matter who you carry, unless you carry a number of them, and then you run into the issue where people travel. So where mine works fine at City Hall, it may not work at when we were at the Draper building. Nothing worked that bad. So I think, going back to your first question on the contract, just want to make sure I hit on that. If we were to do an audit, much like the fire department has started, if we were to do an audit and find a number of phones that people said, you know, I just don't need it anymore. If you don't need me to carry it, I don't want it. We would not be under any penalties to reduce it. If we had a contract period left there, there would be somebody else that continues to need one that would have a contract period that's open, and we can transfer it, simply saying, I'm pretending that phone is now theirs. So to reduce this and to be cost effective, do an audit, would not cost us anything. We can do that as we go. There's not a cutoff period. If we reduce five phones the next month, those five phones aren't going to be billed to us. And that's really kind of my focus right now. And it's not that I don't respect and understand going out to bid. I've just been doing this long enough that carriers, they are amazingly alike.
They're amazingly what?
Alike, similar. Their cost structure always looks good up front, and then one charges you on one way, one charges you another.
Called nickel diming.
I'm very happy with our Verizon representative. When I had just taken this over July 1st, he came in. I asked to meet with him. He came in. He was the one who brought to me, Phil, we can save money. These people have an unlimited data plan. We can reduce that and save you $10 a piece per month. Phil, we can pool these minutes and you won't get a penalty. Phil, we can do this. That just goes to Verizon's interest in keeping it. As long as you're keeping the fire to them and saying, okay, I want to know how to reduce this, there are always opportunities, no matter who you're using.
Well, thank you so much for the clarification and explanation. Thank you.
So, thank you, Councilman. And great question on the penalty issue. So, Phil, you happen to be the one at the podium right now, but this isn't directed just to you. It's also to the other department heads. This is a perfect example of why I am so frustrated with these bids coming to us before or in the 11th hour.
Understandable.
I mean, if we have these conversations on the floor 60 days ago, we may have been able to save a lot of money on this because we feed off of each other. But here we are now, the thing expires in 2 weeks from now, and we're having this conversation now. Great question from Councilman Howe, because the question should have been asked 60 days ago. And 60 days ago, we would have had an opportunity to say, you know what, go get us another bid. There is umpteen providers of services. I have Verizon. I have a rep called me at least three times in the past month telling me, I'm going to save you money. I can cut your plan. Just in the last couple of weeks, let alone the past month. It's an extremely competitive market.
Absolutely.
Extremely competitive. But here we are, we're in the 11th hour again. So now, oh my God, if you don't pass this, then, you know, the cell phone thing isn't going to work, and it's our fault. It ain't our fault. This isn't our fault. This is why the level of frustration is so great, because if we have these conversations ahead of time and in time, we can go out for bid. And I think that we could save the taxpayers some money. But what do we do now? Do you think you can get an extension on this?
Extension, this continues on.
Right.
With the charge. I just don't have authority to spend the money to pay the invoices. I agree with everything you just said, but just as a slight caveat, approving this does not prevent us from going after them for the cost savings we just discussed. It's certainly our intention. Like everything else, it boils down to a manpower issue, but it is absolutely our intention to at least take the low-hanging fruit, which they've offered up, and then we can go after them. It doesn't necessitate going out to bid, so to speak. It just necessitates us being able to go to them and say, these costs are too high, how can we cut them even further? Doing audits of ourselves to make sure we're being diligent and not having phones in people's pockets that they simply say, I have a phone because they told me I had to. I never use it, I use my own.
How long would it take you to turn around an RFP? Starting tomorrow, how long would it take? Start to end. Patricia, how long would it take us?
Depending on when we get the specs in from the department, it's probably about a month turnaround time.
A month. Okay. So, do you think, and this question you may not be able to answer right now, but I'm going to ask it anyways, do you think that Verizon would entertain, instead of extending this contract for 1 year, extending it for 3 months?
I just want to make sure I'm using the right words before I answer that. And no, I can't really answer that for them. But the contract runs through the end or the August of next year. That's the contract with Verizon.
Runs through.
Right.
Yes, I understand.
This is not extending that contract a minute. This is simply getting spending authority to pay the bills, basically.
I've got something right here. It says request permission to increase PCR 188.18, and it says extend contract period from September 1st, 2019 to August 31st, 2020. That's what I'm looking at. Does that mean what it says?
The contract period that we're discussing here, what we're showing you is the spending authority that this body gave them was for this amount for this term.
Right.
I don't know if that coincides with his Verizon contract. I would have assumed it does, but I don't know that for a fact. All I know is that you, as a body, have given them permission for spending for this term, and this term is expiring, and he's asking to go for another year for spending authority.
To extend the contract for another year for $78,000 for a grand total of $180,000.
But as an individual, if you have a contract with a certain provider, I don't know if he has one contract or this is multiple contracts.
They'd be multiple throughout time.
I think because it's not a phone or a group of phones, I think he might have had 10 phones and then he needed five more phones. So it's all different contract periods on different phones. This contract we're talking about is the amount of time that you've given him authority to spend money.
Right. So, Phil, you think, let me rephrase that. Are you sure that there is no cancellation clause, penalties, or any of the kind in the contract that we have with Verizon?
Other than those who have replaced phones in less than 12-month increments, yes. If you had replaced your phone today, you've committed to them for another 12 months, unless you pay a penalty to get out of it.
So what we could do is we could authorize the spending authority and we could request that you go out for bid. And let's see what we draw.
Sure.
And we may find out perhaps there is no savings, but then again, we may find out that there's a significant savings based upon our volume and what the competitive nature is out there, even if there is a penalty for canceling X amount of phones that are in that 12-month period.
Yeah, I don't want to discard it 100%, but in any transfer like this, and you see it in the commercials, most of the carriers will buy that out for you. They give you some stipend that'll go along with it. So I'm not trying to do it.
Competition is a wonderful thing.
It is.
But we're not exercising it.
My personal suggestion would be to get control over what we have before we go out to bid again. I don't feel comfortable that everyone has done what the fire department's in the midst of doing. Matt certainly seems to have a close handle on his. I cannot guarantee that throughout the city. I certainly understand my seven people, but it's such an insignificant number in the whole scheme of things. Given the opportunity to get our plans correct, get the number of devices correct to satisfy the needs of the city, would give us a number to shoot for. Going out to bid at that point in time, I would be able to tell purchasing, here's the number of phones, here's the number of data plans, here's how I want the phone structured, here's the type of phones that we use, and I think it would net us a better result.
How long would it take to do the homework? You said you have pretty much a spreadsheet on it already, right? So it can't take that long.
To get the information, not long at all. To get with each department and review it and get commitments on what we can do, I would say 60 to 90 days.
And do you feel that the exercise is worthwhile?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's always before, have nothing to do with this. It was always my intention.
So you agree with us that this would be certainly a worthwhile exercise to undertake?
Absolutely.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Yes, Councilman Ricks.
I imagine that most of the people who have a city cell phone also have a personal cell phone.
I would have to believe that the commercial.
I would hope so. I'm not sure if there's anything in the different contracts that we may have as a city that would prevent us from looking into options such as giving a stipend for people to opt out of getting a cell phone if, of course, it's deemed necessary that they have a cell phone as part of the job, and instead work something out where they're paid a certain amount. I see that if you divide, just by way of example, the DPW, $7,854.22 for 23 phones, you get about $28.50. City seems, if it's feasible from both a logistics point of view and from a contractual and legal point of view, to instead give people the option of having a stipend for part of that $28.54 could save some money there. Other question I have has to do with the data plans. There was a discussion earlier that some of these plans are for 16 gigs per month, and that seems awfully high. Even with the Wi-Fi hotspot, and especially nowadays that even not just the 4G, but the 3G networks are so very fast. Just for example, the plan that I'm on, $125 a month, five lines, unlimited talk, text, data. And even when I exhaust the 4G data, the 3G data is still very fast. So I understand in the context of police, fire, that we don't want to be bogging people down on a speed that's too slow. But at the same time, I really don't have the background to know whether the 16 gig plan, which it's my understanding that 16 gig plans can run about $80 to $100, sometimes more, every month, how necessary that is, as opposed to, say, a 2 or 4 gig plan that would cost a fraction of that amount. Just points for discussion. Thank you.
I would like to address the second point on the data plans. You're absolutely spot on. We've already, Verizon's already informed me that we are oversubscribing, and those are the opportunities. So they've been very upfront about that. The issue with using your personal cell phone is a security issue. We encrypt all city-owned cell phones. If you have your email on that, there's an opportunity for confidential information to be transmitted, people's social security, you know, whatever it might happen to be. Anything that we have, of course, is available for discovery of a city cell phone, not true with a personal cell phone. So anyone using a personal cell phone for city business would have to understand that we have a security requirement of it being encrypted. They would have to carry the cost of that. We really wouldn't have a way of checking it, and their phone would be subject.
In that case, if I may?
Sure.
One other quick point. The law firm that I used to work for, one of the larger law firms in the U.S., over 1,200 attorneys, and they had a similar issue, of course, with the legal compliance and emails on phones and also a secure web browser, data, ability to download PDFs, the whole nine yards. What they did was they contracted with a different service to have that encryption through, I'm blanking on the name of the particular provider at the moment, but I'm sure it'll come to me later on, where they had an initial app that you would use to log in, and then from there you can get to the secure email, secure web browser, secure database. And so I'm not sure how much sense it would make, but perhaps something to look into in combination with a stipend so that it may be possible to enable personal cell phones to meet all of those criteria.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Most of what you said, like, way over my, I'm just starting to learn how to press these buttons right, but thank you, made some very good points, thank you. Okay, any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? So Phil, as we understand, I just want to make sure that I understand what we're hoping to accomplish is that should we approve this bid, that in addition to that, within, you said, 90 days, you should be able to have something ready for an RFP to go out and see what the competition has to say about this, see what Verizon has to say about this. And also, between now and then, over the next couple few weeks, days, you'll be able to get us those spreadsheets that we talked about as well.
I'll get you the breakdown. It may take, I can give you the breakdown, walk back and get it for you now, but it would be hundreds of pages, not thousands, but I could work on summarizing that over the next couple weeks. I'd like to spend 90 days cleaning up, coming back and saying, here's what we were at, and after we went through the departments and cleaned up, here's where we are now. And then we can take that out to an RFP at that point. If
fair enough. And based upon that, I will support this particular bid, in spite of the fact that it is in the 11th hour. And we have come to that consensus. Having said that, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. 2020-038A, found on page 109, medical supplies and equipment. Hello, Major.
Hello.
Go ahead, Major. Just identify yourself for the record, please.
Lori Michaelides on behalf of the Police Department. Under Section 612, the Police Department is requesting permission to rescind the award to Concordance Medical for the purchase of medical-grade rubber gloves. In May, the Police Department recommended Concordance be awarded this bid as the lowest qualified bidder. Several requests were made to them for their certificate of good standing. They ignored several of those requests. When they finally got back to us, they notified they had been bought out and were out of business. As such, we are requesting that their award be rescinded.
Major, good work. That certificate of good standing, that was something that was brought about by the City Council back when Mayor Solomon was on the City Council at the time. And it was somewhat of an issue. And there was some pushback about, well, we can't do it. But the City Council pressed forward with it and did do it. And here's a perfect example about, in your case, doing your homework and following up on a vendor who could have been problematic if we would have continued doing business with that particular company. But thank you for that. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 2020-038B, found on page 111. Major?
Since Concordance has now been eliminated as a qualified bidder, the Police Department is requesting that that award be awarded to the next lowest bidder, which was Boundtree Medical. The Police Department is seeking authority to purchase rubber gloves for our officers up to $2,000 on an as-needed basis.
Major, just for our own edification, what is the increase in cost by having to go with the next lowest bidder?
Concordance gave us a price of $4.51 for a box of 100, and Boundtree gave us a price of $5.94. So, 57 cents.
Mm-hmm. And this is going to go through July 20th, 2020?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Major.
Thank you.
Next item, 2019-312, infield mix, found on page 190.
Hi, James Scott, Director of Parks and Recreation.
Hi, James.
We are recommending award of the bid to Richmond Sand and Stone for $15,000 to be used as needed for 2 years. I will apologize that we're in the 11th hour here. This had to go out to rebid as there was no bidders the first time. We had to do a little bit of research and rewrite the bid.
Oh, I'm sorry. Say that again. We couldn't hear you with this thundering going on.
I said I apologize that we're in the 11th hour with this. It had to go out to rebid. There were no bidders the first time. The original bid that was posted had a specific product referenced. So after calling some vendors, we rewrote the bid to just say infield mix, and that then led to a bidder.
Okay, so James, when did you join the city? February?
I came in November, and we separated from DPW in July.
Okay. So
December, actually, Chairman.
You joined the city when?
In December.
Okay. And you became the Director of Parks and Recs when?
In December.
December of 2018, of course.
Yes.
Okay. So you are familiar with the requirements of contracts and bids coming before us 60 days prior to the expiration of the contracts, et cetera?
Yes, I am now.
Okay. And have you called any of these other vendors to ask why they have not bid?
I did. When the bid came back without any bidders, and I did call several of the people on the list. Richmond Sand and Stone was the only one that returned my call.
Okay. And the reason that this bid is late coming to us is because you had to go back out for rebid.
You had to go back out to rebid, yes.
Okay, I can understand that. And what is this infield mix used for?
Infield mix is used for sort of the dirt part of baseball and softball fields, the pitcher's mound, keeps it like the shape and keeps it elevated.
And when did you first go out for bid?
I want to say it was in June.
June of this year?
That's correct.
So it was still late anyways.
It is late, sir.
Even your first bid was late, because this expired in June 22nd of 2019.
The first bid, right. So we had the transitional period. The first bid I was put out by DPW. The rebid, I think, was put out by us. So I did the legwork on that. And, you know, we did have a transitional period. I had purchasing was very generous with their time and sort of showing me their process. And we expect to be up to speed going forward.
Okay. Any other questions from members of the committee? Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just really quick, what did Richmond say when you called them and asked them why they didn't bid the first time?
The original bid was for Diamond Infield Mix, and Diamond's a specific brand. So they thought they did not bid because it would have limited to that one brand. Yeah. So we just simply took the word Diamond out, and that changed how they perceived it.
Oh, good. All right. Learning experience. And the final thing is, do you have a program? And I mentioned earlier, I was just going to ask some departments. Do you have a program or a spreadsheet that gives you a heads up of when your bids will be coming up to expire, and you have, like, you know, different windows of prepare the bid, deadline for bid to council, deadline of bid?
Yeah. So we have a sheet that Christy at DPW prepared for us. Then purchasing gave us a sheet as well with a little additional information in it. I think what we're going to do, and I've been working with using Task Manager and different functions that Outlook has, I think we're just going to create meeting requests for 6 months out from the bid so we can get our ducks in a row and get things together so we're not standing here in the 12th hour.
So you're saying you have a sheet that was supplied, but you don't have anything online that can send you reminders or anything?
I'm going to do that through Outlook.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea. Thank you so much for your answers.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last comment.
I'm going to use the meeting request finder, Microsoft Outlook, and the task manager function.
Okay.
And that will send out an automatic reminder 6 months out.
Good, good. Any other questions from members of the committee? Members of the council, Councilman Qualley.
I heard when you were speaking, you said that this purchase is going to be used for the infield and for the pitcher's mound. Did I hear that correctly? Because my understanding is that pitcher's mounds are not used the same sand as they use for the base paths or other areas. That they refer to it as clay. What it is in the sand and gravel world, I do not know. But it is not sand and gravel.
Councilman, to the best of my knowledge, the only infield in the city with clay is Winslow. But I can do a little more research and get back to you. I do know that the infield mix is used on the infields and it has some role in the pitcher's mound, but I can get you more specifics on that.
No, I understand what you're saying about the infield. There are some entire infields that are made out of gravel for softball, not so much for baseball. And I know that the baseball mound and softball mound is usually made of a different substance, but it is a small item, but it's important to the people playing the game. Thanks.
I agree, and we'll work to make sure our fields are in top condition.
Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, James. 2020-066, street striping. Found on page 193.
Public Works is requesting to award the contract for street striping to Highway Safety Systems in the amount of $30,000 for 1 year.
Christy, are crosswalks part of striping? Are they considered part of the striping budget?
No, not on this contract. We actually do them in-house.
You do them in-house?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a different process? Is it like a tape or a paint?
It's paint. We have a machine that does it.
Okay. So those are all in-house?
Yes.
So if we have any areas of the crosswalks need attention, just get in touch with DPW, right?
Yes.
Now, I think that I saw in your position paper that, I did. There have been no funds expended this fiscal year for street striping, and this project will not commence until the spring of 2020. I'm curious why no street striping. That's a tongue twister, isn't it? Street striping has been done in the past year.
Well, we did do it, actually. Oh. We did it at the end of, we do it in the spring. We wait until after winter, after the salt and sand and the plowing, and then we stripe the roads in the spring so they're fresh.
Okay. So when you say this fiscal year, you mean like
current, fiscal year
right
20.
Now, right
yes.
Now. Okay. Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Christy. Item 2020-068, street improvements, found on page 197.
Department's requesting to award this bid to two vendors, Carty Corporation and D'Amber Construction, in the amount of $1,500,000 for the street striping, the street improvement program for a one-year period expiring August 31st, 2020.
So, Christy, this is essentially what we have in the asphalt budget, right? Is $1.5 million. Is that what's still left in there now?
There, it's actually a little under $1 million. We've had some encumbrances.
Okay, but it was modified for $1.5 million. With the recent.
There was money removed,
okay.
Yes.
And I'm curious, as I look through these bidders, why are you making a recommendation for D'Amber? Keep in mind, we have for a very long time, like we have for the bid request coming in a timely manner, we have also been very concerned with awarding multiple vendors the same bid. We have made some exceptions over the last three quarter years, very, very few. So I'm curious as to why you are making a recommendation for two vendors for this particular item, particularly being we're only talking $1.5 million now.
I'm actually going to defer to Matt Sleetra.
Okay, sure. Matt, you just got thrown under the bus.
It happens. Matthew Sleetra, Department of Public Works Director for the City of Warwick. So although we have $1.5 million for our paving budget in fiscal year 2020, the current administration is going to be seeking bonding from the Infrastructure Bank, and we would like to award to two vendors to increase our paving budget. So obviously, if we increase our paving budget with loans, we would have to come before you to extend the cap.
So you could also come before us for another bidder at that time too, right? Or another vendor. You could come back to us at that time for another vendor. But what we're talking about now is the current budget.
Correct.
This isn't anything to do with bonds or anything like that. This is the current budget.
Right, but I guess the thought process was to award to two vendors with the fact that we may be going out to bond council and getting more money. Currently, we
I understand that. And when our paving budget was at $5 million or $4.5 million, I concurred with perhaps a couple of vendors so we could get this done in a timely manner. It was suggested that we may not be able to pave or put down $4.5 million worth of asphalt. So in that particular case, I certainly was of the mindset of perhaps going to two vendors. Right now, we have a budget of $1.5 million, less what you've already spent, and that's nowhere near what we've done in other years with just one vendor. So the thing that troubles me with this is Cotti Corporation is $138,590 less than D'Ambra. So why would I want to entertain using a second vendor who in totality is $138,590 higher than the low bidder? Cotti's the low bidder.
I mean, I can't speak for you. I just gave you the explanation that
we may be going out for bonding,
right.
And which is a welcome bit of news. I was not privy to that. That is a welcome bit of news to go out for bonding, perhaps. I have no idea what the terms are going to entail, the costs, et cetera, et cetera. Certainly, it's something worthwhile looking into. And at that time, when and if that time comes, a new RFP can be put out for multiple vendors. Okay. So, having said that, for me, and I'll open it up to questions in a moment, for me, I cannot support the concept of more than one vendor on $1.5 million worth of asphalt that certainly one vendor can put down. Is there representatives from Cotti and Cotti? Anyone here from D'Ambra? No one here from D'Ambra. Okay, I don't, and I'm not in the asphalt business, but I'll get to you in a minute, Councilman. I don't see any issues with this other than the cost difference of $138,590 to go with an alternate bidder. I don't see the need for it. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. As you know, I agree with the chair that we don't like to give out multiple multiple awards to multiple companies unless there is a reasoning for it. And on this, I'm okay with this because I don't want it to run into a situation where we want to use. You know, we're going to pave some roads, we're going to do something, but we have to wait because we only have one company and they're busy, they're working in another part of the state or something like that, so it's going to be delayed. So I do think it's good to have options. I would assume that just with all bids, if we have multiple bidders, that we would go out to the lowest bid first and offer it to them. And if they are unavailable to meet the timeline that they were looking for, then we would go to the second awardee on this. So that is my thinking on that. Is again, we want to have the options. We want to. We all know how our roads and need improvement. This is a top priority for every person on the council here. And I just don't want to run into a situation where, you know, we're ready to go, street X it needs to go, but the company at this time, they're working, they can't get to it for another month, but it's already October, and then, another month means we can't get it until the springtime. So that is my thinking, that why I would be okay with multiple awardees on this one, just to give us that option. Obviously, I would like to see the lowest bidder get the first right of refusal on jobs as well. So that's my thinking, Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Matt, I think to go on what both the chairman and the co-chair said, is it realistic to say that if you have Cardi's, and let's say we have there's a big demand, there's a lot of areas in Warwick that need to get paved. We've been aggressively going at it. I know it's been a thing about the city council as well as the mayor. Is it realistic that if you can get it done with both companies? Like, so let's say if Cardi's is, let's say, on the north end of the city, and all the equipment is on the north end of the city, and you need something done at the south end of the city, we usually, from my understanding, is Cardi's sets everything up, they move the equipment, or not just Cardi's, any business, any company, would go ahead and move the equipment and get a pattern going so they don't, so they're not jumping all over the city. Am I being realistic in thinking of that, or is that kind of not really how it would work?
Well, with respect to a pattern, with any contractor that you have a relationship with, you try and group the work together so they're not jumping from Third Ave to Cohesit to, mm-hmm. you know, Jefferson Boulevard. So we try and keep all the work together.
So my question being, would you utilize both companies to address issues on, let's say, the north side and the south side of the city?
We would, yeah, given the fact that we're going to seek bonding, additional bonding, it could potentially work out very well.
So now just to go on my question to you with what the chairman said, is this something where you feel as the DPW director that it's fine to go with one company? Because I do agree, we as a finance committee, a unified finance committee, we've gotten done away with the multiple bids, the multiple contracts, or multiple businesses getting one contract. Do you feel that it's fine to go with that? Will it still satisfy the needs of the city and the job that you have to get done by going with one company?
Well, again, my recommendation would be to, if we get additional bonding, to go with the two companies.
I'm so sorry, I couldn't hear you again.
My recommendation, again, would be if we get additional bonding to go with the two companies. That's what we're talking about and have been discussing.
Thank you.
Thanks. But, excuse me, Matt, that's not what we're talking about.
That's my answer. That's what
okay.
I'm
fine.
You.
So your answer is if we
Correct.
Get a bond,
Correct.
Then your recommendation would be for multiple contractors.
My recommendation at this time is as it's set forth in the packet.
Fine. I respect that. Any other questions from members? Yes, Councilwoman Travis.
I just want to be on the record that I also agree that we should have two companies. You never know what might happen in one area, like he gets tied up in another part or some other part of the state. I know he has a lot of equipment. What if something broke down and then he was busy in another area? I like the idea of the two departments.
Councilman Sinapi.
Similar note, just the unit prices between the two companies sometimes differ drastically and not with any consistency. So sometimes D'Ambra is way more, even as high as double. Sometimes Cardi is way more, sometimes even double. So having both seems like it would be beneficial to us if we can pick and choose which jobs the respective company does, because then we can make sure we're maximizing our dollars for each one, depending on the project.
Councilman Sinapi, that is precisely what we have been working against over the last year and three quarters, because we're having difficulties getting vendors to bid, because vendors would come in, we'd issue the contracts to four or five vendors, and in the end, somebody bids a low number on a washer, and they're on their regular margins on other numbers, and all they get awarded is the washer.
I get
and
that,
they,
but we've had at least.
Me, and then they will just get discouraged from bidding, and they haven't been bidding. There have been cases, as I said earlier, where we have awarded more than one vendor because of numerous reasons, such as what has been spoken to, but not because there's two or three vendors and one has a lower number on one thing and someone has a higher number on another. Overall, the thought process here of this committee is overall, who is the low bidder overall on the entire project? $1.5 million in asphalt work, it's not a lot of money. We just got a budget of $90,000 to pave just a top layer on Tidewater Drive. So $1,500,000 is not a lot of asphalt. It's not a lot of road.
So I got a question.
The bid, and the bid, I will answer your question in a minute, Council.
No, I have a question.
Oh, all right, Council President.
What did we do last year when we had $4 million?
We paved with a vendor.
One contractor, mm-hmm. Correct?
Correct.
That was your recommendation.
Correct.
Is that why you're hesitating when we ask you what your recommendation is?
I believe that I answered the question. If you want to rephrase the question,
I'm just saying that you appear to be...
You asked me my opinion. That is my opinion, what is stated there.
Correct.
Correct.
You just seem to be agitated. That's
I'm not agitated.
Okay. So, last year, we had $4 million.
Correct.
And we recommended one bidder. This year, we have 1.5, and we're recommending two.
Correct.
And I know Mr. Carty's sitting in the audience today,
I
think we should probably hear from him, too, about his ability last year to do $4 million, but his inability this year to do 1.5.
I think with all due respect, Council President, the issue is we wanted to have additional resources should we go out and get the bonding. And that is the position of the DPW director.
Which we're not in that situation right now. And to do bonding, we'd have to put out a bond next fall.
Okay.
For the voters to vote on, which means it wouldn't be available for 2 years. So I don't even know why that idea is being floated for this year. I also know that last year, liquid asphalt went up significantly.
Correct.
And Mr. Carty went back to you folks and said, would you pay more? Because it's going to cost me $250,000 more. And I know the city didn't give him more money. Not his fault that he was in that situation. Not our fault either, because yeah, that's why you have a bid. But last year, he ate $250,000 on liquid asphalt. Did you have any problems with Mr. Carty doing $2 million of paving on any of the roads last year?
I did not.
No problems with being on the south side and the north side of the city, right?
I did not.
Somebody have a problem with Mr. Carty this year?
I don't believe so, sir.
Because all the recommendations have changed. Just wondering why. I appreciate the situation you're in, Matt. I appreciate it. And it shows. This is a company that's paved the roads ever since I've been on the council. They do all the highways in the state. They're a Warwick company. This year, they can't pave $4 million of roads. Just, you know, when it goes down. Last year, they could do $4 million. This year, they can't do $1.5 million. And there's no explanation because they handled it perfectly last year. Does anybody here on the council have any problems with the paving in their wards last year? Okay. Mr. DePasquale is going to enlighten us.
Would you like me to speak, Mr. President?
I thought you would. Typically, when you walk up to the mic, it means you want to speak. Maybe I was wrong. You wanted to hold his hand. I'm not the chair of the committee.
I was just waiting for you to complete your thought.
What's that?
I was waiting for you to complete your thoughts.
I'm not the chair. That's the chair.
Go ahead,
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Chief.
I think Mayor Solomon's been very strident in his support for paving. And it's ironic to me that some of the same questions that have been presented to the mayor's office about paving and now being questioned here, and that's the ability to pave, have versatility, and float a bond. And I think you're incorrect Mr. President, when you think that there can't be $1 million of bond that's already been approved by the voters released. And that would be a total of $4 million. So before the calls go to Mayor Solomon's office, when we're trying to help the citizens of this great city to improve our infrastructure, questioning what is a recommendation. This board has been elected by the people. My director is offering a recommendation that would allow versatility to this city in an increased paving program as desired by Mayor Solomon. So I am just here to reiterate our recommendation to this humble body that that should be something that's in the mix.
So
if there's strident support for an individual vendor, that's fine. No one's objecting to that. But it certainly is a recommendation that I suggest be at least contemplated.
So are you saying we have $1 million in a bond account right now that you folks are going to release?
I am not committing to anything, but I know the voters have $3 million in an infrastructure bond for drainage improvements. And we may consider all the options, as we know that the public, desirous of improving the roadways, would like something to be done. Mayor Solomon has committed to look at all avenues to get the infrastructure of this city the way it needs to be.
So you're saying we have a bond referendum for flooding and drainage, and your suggestion is we use that for paving?
You can encapsulate it any way you'd like.
I'm asking.
I would say, to answer your question, is that road work and drainage infrastructure could be one and the same, right? We were here in this great council chamber where we talk about Lakeshore Drive, we talk about the road needs to be road increased. The drainage needs to be done. You're an environmental guy, right? We need to comply with the state of Rhode Island. Part of that is drainage on city roadways and having the proper soluble pollutant removal that this city needs to keep the bays nice and clean and our beaches open for the public. Now, I don't think that's against the public interest, and I don't think thinking about recommendations to this honorable board about considerations for infrastructure contracts should be so, let's say, heated.
Okay. So what you're saying is that you want to use drainage bond money that's going to clean up the bay for paving.
I am saying in front of this board right now is a recommendation for a vendor or two vendors to complete paving. That is why we're here tonight, and I am here to support my director and Mayor Solomon and all the people in this great city that want paving. Now, if you don't want paving, that's fine. But if you want paving, you'd say, okay, versatility lends itself to having two vendors. What's wrong with versatility?
I'm sorry I'm upsetting you. I'm just trying to get clarification as to what intent is not before us, because what is being told to us is that there's some bond money out there that may or may not be used for paving. And what I'm hearing is that the bond money that may be used, that it doesn't sound like the administration is willing to commit on yet, which would contemplate two vendors, is a bond referendum that has $3 million in it for drainage. So what I'm wondering is, if we have, if you're pulling out $1 million from that bond referendum today, which the voters voted on thinking they were getting drainage improvements, why isn't that before us?
Is there a question somewhere in there?
Yeah, why isn't there additional $1 million before us? Why aren't we committing to an additional $1 million out of a drainage bond referendum that would clean up the bay, as you certainly stated? That's what the voters voted for. Why isn't that before us if we have to pick two vendors?
What's before you right now in this subcommittee is consideration for vendor selection on paving. That's it. Okay? My clarification was my support of my director as to the recommendation forward to this body. You can agree with it, you cannot agree with it. You can think that Ward 9 shouldn't receive paving. I think the fine folks of Ward 9 should get paving. That's my personal opinion. But beyond that, the question was, should this contract be issued to two vendors or one? Our recommendation was two for versatility and the possibility of expanding the program to enhance the improvement program to the city of Warwick over a lot quicker time than has been done in the past. That's Mayor Solomon's commitment, and we're going forward to look at all avenues to get us there.
So if we go with the lowest qualified bidder, it would save us $138,000, which to me, the residents of Ward 9, I don't know how everybody else feels about an extra $138,000 in paving by going with the low bidder, because that's what Mr. Sinapi was running through all the numbers. Some are high, some are low. The recommendation from your own vendor is when you add up the high and the low, it's about $138,000 worth of savings. So I speak for myself and the residents that elected me by saying, hey, I would like $138,000 more in spending. And if you get an extra million, Mr. DePasquale, I don't want to do the math for you, but that's over a quarter of $1 million of extra spending for all of the residents when you go with the lowest qualified bidder. And there's been no evidence, and I've been on this council a long time, that Cardi hasn't performed every job that the city gave him. So all of a sudden this year, there's a concern that the Cardi family, who's lived here and worked here and had a company here all their life, who put out a bid, who happened to be the lowest qualified bidder, cannot perform all the paving, even if you added in $1 million. So my suggestion is if you add in $1 million and you get $2 million, you'd have, gee, almost $270,000, if my calculation's right, of an additional paving by going with the lowest qualified bidder. Now, maybe I'm making too much sense, okay? I mean, that's why we have a bid process. But I would like to have, if the mayor's going to go with $1 million in bonding from a drain bond, $270,000 extra paving, or a minimum of $138,000 extra. And maybe, Mr. Chairman, at the appropriate time, we could ask Mr. Cardi if he's had trouble performing all across the city. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. I certainly will. Chief, if you could stay for 1 second, please.
Sure.
I will ask Mr. Cardi to speak. I have some follow-up questions for the chief, but Mr. Councilman Sinapi, I think you were next.
Right. So I said two things. One just popped into my head with Council President Morolla mentioning the drainage. It looks like four of the line items for the bid do involve drainage, for what it was worth. I'm not sure it matters that much, but just pointing that out. And regarding the whole normal process, we don't like to cherry pick and have multiple bids. Look, I get it, and it makes a lot of sense. It makes a great deal of sense, in fact, considering how few bids we get for projects. My only thing is that when at least one of the line items for Cardi is double what D'Ambra's is, it's hard for me not to question whether or not our normal practice is working when that's the case. Granted, it might turn out that the way their company's set up, they're able to make everything else cheaper, but as a result, this one thing's more expensive. That's fine, I get it. And fortunately, he happens to be here, and he can comment on it, but that's my only thought as far as being able to pick between the two.
Thank you, Councilman. So, Chief, I understand and I hear what you and the director are saying about the possibility of additional bonding money coming into place for roads. And I heard your comment that said you don't have to support roads. I think every person on this council voted for $4+ million in the asphalt budget when it first came out. So I think it's perfectly clear that we all support fixing the roads. We certainly know we need the roads fixed, and I certainly will be happy to bring anybody through Ward 5 and point it all out. So, yes, I support the roads, I support the asphalt. I also support the premise that if additional monies through bond or wherever, additional monies come in above and beyond this bid we're talking about here this evening for $1.5 million, if additional monies come in, $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, from whatever bond, wherever bond, I believe what's going to have to happen is that's going to have to go out for a rebid if you're going to throw in another $1 million or $2 million worth of roads or repairs. At that time, Chief, I certainly would take a different perspective on more than one vendor as I did when we were talking about spending $4 million on roads, because there was a question, at least in my mind, whether or not with the time constraints, et cetera, that we'd be able to get that asphalt done in time, given weather conditions, so forth and so on. So, yes, I certainly would be amenable to taking a very serious look at multiple vendors if and when additional monies come into the paving budget. I think we can all agree, for certainly anyone that's been here beyond the 7 years that I've been here, that $1.5 million in asphalt is not a lot of money, and it's not something that is going to take up a long time or significant time to produce. So I think we have two different issues. I respect the administration's position of saying we perhaps should entertain, or we should entertain, multiple vendors if we're spending $2, $3, $4 million, $5 million, depending upon, again, the time of year that this comes into place. The issue at hand today, as I see it, is this particular bid, 2020-068 street improvements. It was put out for bid, and we have multiple vendors. We have a vendor who is the low bidder, and we are not talking about an additional $1.5 million, $2 million. I believe the director had said perhaps as much as $3 million additional monies into roads. I think that's for another day, Chief. I think when that time comes, if we get to that crossroad where we're talking about an additional $3 or $4 million in roads, then certainly I'll be very amenable to considering multiple vendors to do that. But I think it's two different issues. So at this time, unless there's additional questions or comments, yes, Councilman Ricks.
Comment on an experience that I had with Cardi. Over on Dedham Road in Ward 2, it appears that when that section of the development was initially built in Pilgrim Park, the developer lined the properties along the road with cobblestones. When Cardi came to take care of repaving that road, naturally these cobblestones are getting knocked loose due to the vibrations in tearing up the road. And so there was a bit of a debate about, okay, it seems that these cobblestones are part of residents' real estate, not part of the city's responsibility. So it seemed unlikely that the vendor would be responsible for actually taking care of restoring this to its original state. Well, I have to commend both Cardi and the administration, because within a few weeks of things looking like, okay, this is going to get bogged down, this is going to be a real pain, it'll be a quagmire to get this, what seems to be a relatively simple problem solved. Well, a few weeks later, Cardi came back out, and at no cost to the taxpayers, no cost to the residents, they went ahead and took care of those cobblestones, made them look beautiful once again. So I think that the takeaway is that it seems that there's a very good working relationship between Cardi and the city, and also that Cardi did have the capacity to go and take care of that right away, which I think, to the extent that that anecdote is helpful, supports the chairman's point that it seems that Cardi does have the capacity to take on this sort of work and make sure to do the job right, and then also come back and finish the job if something needs to be finished. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. I'd also like to comment on or follow up on comments by a couple of my colleagues with respect to having a fallback. We're not talking about sand. We're not talking about salt. And I've supported that. I've supported multiple vendors for sand, because if we run out of sand in the middle of the winter, we've got a big problem. If we run out of salt in the middle of the winter, we have a big problem. That is different. That is totally different than the decision that we need to make today. We're not talking about, well, what happens if the street in this particular ward doesn't get its pothole filled this week or this month? Maybe it'll get done next month. I think there's a big difference there. And I have not seen any issues with one vendor for this amount of monies, and even larger in a couple of other years, getting that done. So we're not talking about running out of salt. We're not talking about running out of sand and having a backup. You'll have my support on that always. This is a different issue altogether. To the chief's and the director's position about the bond, I understand it. We may, and I think that is wherein lies the question. We may and we may not. If we're going for a general obligation bond, then as the council president said, we're not seeing that bond until 2020. So there certainly is no need to have multiple vendors on $1.5 million worth of asphalt for something that may or may not come into fruition between now and, at the very earliest, 2020. So I see it as two separate issues. It's the possibility of having an influx of asphalt, which bring that budget back up to $4 million, Chief. I'll be a happy camper. All the people in all nine wards will be very happy, and I'll be very happy to entertain or to certainly give very serious consideration to multiple vendors if we're talking that kind of money in roads, because I think it would behoove us to get that done as quickly as possible. But for $1.5 million, I don't see the advantage. I don't see any reason for having multiple vendors, and I certainly cannot support the difference of $138,590 for this type of a bid. Now, having said that, any other questions from members of the council? Councilman McAllister.